Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. For more information on all things Pneuma, please contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Now get ready for another inspirational message.
You know, today's a very special day because today is Noah's seventh birthday. And I became a mom 7 years ago. I'm like, wow, my life has completely changed. And being a parent really changes your entire being. Every fiber in you is just completely stretched out. But there's so much joy and beauty despite the challenges of raising children. You know, the joy, the pain, that's nothing compared to the joy that it brings. So if you're a parent here, kudos to you. Well done. You're doing such an incredible job. It's hard. It's really hard, but you keep the joy and you keep, you know, the house and your children. Sometimes they don't listen, or all the time they don't listen and give you a hard time. It's okay. It's all right. You know who's with you? The Lord. You know who's also a parent? Our God. And many of His children don't listen to Him. So He understands. He understands your heart. And when I was preparing for this message, I was asking God, because I was told by Pastor Day what to share, and he told me to preach a month ago. And I said, I don't know what to share, Lord. And it landed on Noah's birthday, and he told me, why don't you share my heart as a good father? So I'll be sharing about the heart of God today as a father. And then while I was praying and preparing this, I feel the Lord say this. The Lord is breaking the yoke of religion, and He's lifting the burden of people-pleasing, seeking approval and fear of man or fear of failure. No longer we as a church, you and I, no longer are we to come in every Sunday to fulfill a task, fill a seat, tick a box in a weekly checklist. He's not after your attendance. Let me tell you this, my friends. He's not, He doesn't want you to come to church just because He wants you to fill a seat. He doesn't even want your gifts, your finances. All these are external things. They're just outward appearances. The Lord is saying today that He is after your heart. He is after you and only you and everything in you. He's after your affection. Your attention. I feel the Lord wants a deeper and more intimate relationship with His children. He wants you to know Him as a father to His children. He wants to reveal Himself as a good, good father. Thanks, Neil. And today, while I was preparing, God led me to Isaiah 55, and we'll read this together. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I make him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for He has glorified you. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that He may have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. I love this part. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish
that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees in the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let's pray. I just invite you guys to pray with me. Let's close our eyes, because I felt the Lord literally walking in this room as we were worshiping Him, and He's here ready to reveal Himself to those who are willing to open their hearts to Him, those who are willing to give Him His attention, their attention to Him. And everyone's all eyes closed in the room, even mine. And this is a place where we can just be open. And I promise you, there's no judgment or anything. If you have come here feeling weary, tired, and you didn't even want to come to church, just put your hand up. I'm not looking around. I don't know who it is. No one's looking around. It's just you and God. Or if you have come here feeling, I don't even know this God fully that I'm serving or worshiping, but I want to know more, put your hand up. Or maybe you've been disappointed, you've been hurt, you've been just so frustrated about your life or your prayer life, and you tried to read the word or try to come to Him, but there's just no change, there's no transformation, there's no breakthrough, and you keep saying, how come that person is getting a breakthrough but I'm not? And here I am plowing and plowing and plowing and pushing, but there's nothing, and I'm getting tired. If that's you, would you put your hand up? I'm not looking around. No one is looking around. This is a moment between you and God. I feel our Heavenly Father just wants you to put your hand up, and He wants you to know that He sees you. He sees your heart. He does not turn His face away from you just because you're feeling certain things, or you're frustrated, or you're just sick of your mundane Christian life, or your relationship with Him is there's no power, there's no change. It's just a weekly thing, and you attend a service and you do a task at church, you fulfill a task, and then Monday comes, you're back to your normal life, and you feel like, what just happened yesterday? I completely forgot. Here I am. I'm facing my problems again. I'm facing the same issues again, and there's nothing happening. If that's you, just know that our Heavenly Father sees you. He is not judging you. He is not here to put you down and say, oh, you didn't do this, or maybe because you didn't pray enough, or you didn't give enough, or you haven't been spending your time with me. He is not here to condemn you. Our Heavenly Father wants to show His love to you, just His pure love. All right. Come put your hands down, and we're going to open our eyes. It's so hard to see our Heavenly Father as a Father, because maybe we felt like our earthly fathers have failed us, or our relationship at the moment is not the best, or maybe we have our own issues ourselves. You know, I love my dad, and who here loves their dad, though? Oh, we appreciate all our dads. I was born in the Philippines, and when I was young, my dad had to travel to Saudi Arabia to provide for us. And we only saw him 1 month each year. And this went on until I was 12. And we would send letters to each other. My mom would send him letters. He would send letters back. This was before the internet. And I remember one time Dad sent us a cassette tape. I don't know if you guys know a cassette tape, or the Gen Z. A cassette tape is something you put on a radio, if they still exist today. And he sent us a recording of his singing. and playing a song for us. And I remember crying when I listened to it. I would often play it just to hear his voice. I miss him. I really missed him. And me and my brothers would look forward to the letters, and Mum would read it to us, and we'd send letters back. And the most exciting part of the year was the school holidays. And in the Philippines, it was around April or May, and he would come home, and we would spend time with him. I love my dad. I wish he was here, but he's sick. Please pray for him. He's my hero. But then we finally all lived together. He took us to Saudi Arabia for a couple of years before we moved here. And I realized one important thing, that I did not fully know him as my dad, as a father. I only knew him from a distance. I knew he could draw, I knew his talents, I knew that he was an architect, he's really good at painting as well, he's very musical. I knew the stories that he told us about how him and Mum met, and you know, how we were born, and we made all these memories together, but I really didn't know what he was like, what his temperaments were, what his attitudes were, what his icks and things, and what makes him happy and all that, because I only saw him 1 month each year, and I knew he is my dad, but I didn't fully know him because of that distance. And oftentimes our relationship with our Heavenly Father is like this, because we only know him from a distance. Maybe our relationship with him is like, we only commune with him on a Sunday. Unfortunately, I'm not saying it's you guys, but there are relationships that are like that. And I'll be honest with you, I was like that for one point. 7 days a week or 6 days a week, I'll be living my own life, and then on Sunday, I will perform. Or some of us maybe, okay, we do our devotion, but we only allocate, let's say, 15, 20 minutes each day. And then the rest of the day is just our task, everything that we have to do because we're so busy. Or maybe there are some things happening in our lives. And there's no way to condemn you, because this is the reality. Because it's so hard to talk to a father that you do not see. But my dad, you know, I love my dad. When we started living together, he did his best to reach us. He would spend time with us. We'd always go on long travels. My dad loves to drive, loves fishing. I don't like fishing. I don't even eat much fish, but I see the effort of him inviting us to, hey guys, let's go fishing. And it's a way for us to spend time together. And it wasn't easy. We didn't always get it right. There were awkward moments, silent moments, and you're just sitting there, what's next, what do? I'm just going to go on my phone. But the best part about it, and what really mattered to my dad, was that I gave him my attention. My attention, me and my brother's attention. Doesn't matter if it was awkward, doesn't matter if it was weird, or the conversations were just like, my attention was there. And I appreciate that about my dad, and I love him so much. And, you know, when God feels distant, just know that He is reaching out to you, that He wants to give you a revelation. But the question is, does He have your full attention? You can only receive a revelation if you give Him your full attention. And let me tell you, you know, there are many things in this world that will try to take your attention. So many people, even, you know, the news and whatever is happening in the world, they will take your attention. The enemy is very crafty. Let me tell you, he's very crafty. Social media is a big one. And I am a victim of social media. I get so distracted by social media. But God is ready to speak to you. If you just put your phone down, go into a quiet room, go for a walk, go to nature, or just sit in your car quietly and say, God, here I am. You have my full attention. Speak to me. And He will reveal Himself to you. How good is God? You know, oftentimes we come to Him because sometimes we get scared of coming to our own dads because we messed up, or maybe because you had a fight and then it's just awkward in the dinner table and you just can't move forward. But with our Heavenly Father, The awkwardness is from you. I'm sorry. There's no awkwardness with God. He's there, sitting there and waiting for you to speak and say, hey, what's going on? Let me hear your heart. That's the beauty of our God and the relationship that He wants to build in us and inside us. And when I read Isaiah 55, there's just these four things that God was showing me. Number one, a good, good Father, He is inviting you. In verse 1 and 2, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. He is inviting you. At the time of this writing, the Israelites may have felt abandoned by God because of their suffering, because at that time they were displaced, they were taken away from their home, they were under the Babylonian rule, and these were foreign people with foreign gods, and they just lost their identity, and they're just so confused about who they were. But this is a word of comfort for them. He is inviting His people to come. He is not far off. He's telling His children, my children, I'm not far off. In fact, He is inviting His people to commune with Him, to be satisfied with what He offers, to be filled by what He gives. He is a good Father who gives good gifts to His children. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. How nice is it to be invited to a party or to someone's home? Just recently, Addy and Steph invited us to their home and prepared a beautiful dinner for us. They didn't even ask us to bring anything, just maybe drinks and whatnot, but everything they are all prepared for. We just come in and enjoy the company. Let's picture our God like that. He is inviting you to come. You don't need to bring anything, or even you can bring whatever it is that you're carrying to Him. And He's like, put that aside and let's eat together. Let's drink together. Let's talk together. Sometimes we come to God and say, all right, I'm going to pray this prayer because this is the only way I could pray. Or maybe I have to sing the right songs. He has to give me the right feels. It has to be the right William Augusto song. Otherwise, not. I need to be away, far away. And we put all these rules around us. We're meeting God. We put all these rules and just laws. And we've become so religious that coming to God becomes a chore. It's like, and you come to God, you get bored, you get frustrated, and you put your Bible down and you walk away because there's something more exciting out there. But little did we know that our Heavenly Father has so much more for us. If we only come to the Word, if we only spend, I'd say, more than 20 minutes here, morning, night, or maybe in between your lunch break, or maybe in between your quiet time, or maybe even while you're at the gym. What I do at the gym is I just put a podcast while I'm on the treadmill just to get me hyped up. Lord, I'm sorry. Well, I'm praying. But He's inviting us. He's inviting us to come to Him. No agenda, no rules, whatnot. Just come. And let me tell you, there's a verse in the Bible, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, the thing about invitation is you can say no. You can say no. But it's okay. But what will you say to the invitation of the Lord? If you felt like there's a Bible verse in my head and I don't know why, or maybe I'm thinking of that person or I'm feeling something here, just know that that is the Lord tapping you on your shoulder. I want you to come. I have something to show you. I want you to step aside and meet me here because I have something to reveal to you. Would you give Him your full attention? Would you give Him your full attention? And our good Father, He has a promise for you. In verse 3 and 4, incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. The Lord is affirming his people that he will uphold the promise he made with David. And I'll read to you Samuel, a portion of Samuel, 2 Samuel 7. This is what God said to David. And we all know David. He's a man after God's own heart. I will appoint a place for you, for my people Israel, and plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And at the time, this promise is just so impossible, but God is reminding them it will come to pass, and violent men shall afflict them no more. Another part it says here, the Lord will establish his throne. And in verse 14, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Our Father in heaven has a promise of life and a future. Church, don't get it wrong. He's not trying to bribe you or trick you into giving your life to him. Only the enemy does that. And we saw that with Adam and Eve. He tricked them. But our God, he's all truth. He is kind. And his promises, they're actually the promises that you already had, but was taken away from you because of sin, because of that separation. And this separation and this distance that we have from God made us forget about our identity and our inheritance and who we are in God. So we've been trying and toiling to find out who we are, but our identity is right there. Right there, waiting to be revealed if we just give him our attention, if we just make our time to seek him wholeheartedly. He has a promise for you. And this promise is a relationship, that closeness, a father to a child, and all the privileges of being his child. How many of us know that David, the great king, is only a shadow of the one true and perfect king, Jesus? And through Jesus, we are adopted into the kingdom of God and as his sons and daughters. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible is found in Ephesians 1. And I just want to read this to you to build your faith. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Just think about the spiritual blessing, whatever it may be. It is for you. It is your inheritance in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He chose us even before we chose him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. How beautiful is it? So many treasures, and it's not talking about physical treasures that will come later or whatever it may be. The most important is that spiritual inheritance we have. Spending eternity with our Heavenly Father, receiving joy when there's no reason to be joyful, like the song that we sang, trading my sorrows for joy. What does that mean? That could only mean something to us if we know who our Father is and who we are in Him as a son and daughter of the Most High. How can we show the world what joy means when we don't know it ourselves? How can we show faith to the world when we don't know it ourselves? How can we show love when we don't know it ourselves? My friends, this is our inheritance. It belongs to you. It belongs to me. It belongs to our children and our children's children. Let's take hold of it. Let's take hold of it. I'll go back to Pastor Dave's message. Take hold of your promise. Take hold of your breakthrough. This is for you. It belongs to you. The Lord does not want you to live defeated like the rest of the world. You are supposed to bring light. We are the light of the world, a city on a hill, a light that cannot be hidden. And this is not to boost your ego, our ego as a church, not like that at all. We are reflecting the face of Jesus. No, the world does not know Jesus. We know Jesus. Or maybe some of us don't know fully know him. But this is a time and there's always a moment to know him deeper and closer and more intimate. But would you give him your full attention? Are you hungry for that revelation? Not just as Jesus, as your Savior, but as your Lord, who you give your full attention. Last week, we heard about God and loving him wholeheartedly with our heart, with our soul, with our mind. And unfortunately, we have our own idols, as what Pastor Levi has shared. That brings me to our third point. Our Heavenly Father, our good Father, calls us to repentance. Yeah. And let's read it together. Seek the Lord while he may be found, in verse 6 and 7. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah is telling his people, this is your window of opportunity. The time is now. Do not delay to seek God and turn away from your ways. Guys, if you read 2 Chronicles, you will see time and time again the different kings who rose in power, and they at first would obey God, and then after many, many years of success, they become proud. And then many, many years of complacency, they start to act like the nations around them who had their own gods. And then they bring in the gods, these other gods, into the kingdom, and that begins their downfall. They performed meaningless worship. They also worshiped other gods, and there was no heart for others. They have turned away from God. Church, we have to understand that in order for our relationship with God to grow and move forward, we have to live a repentant life. And this is one of the things that we often forget, that I often forget. Because let me tell you, I'm so bad at receiving rebuke. Levi could attest to that. I am very, I'm like, walls up. Don't talk to me. Let me process this. Heavenly Father, help me humble my heart. He did something too, you know. It's not just me. He did something as well, okay? It's the pride. It's just the pride. And God is calling us to live a repentant life. And sometimes it's hard for us to come to God. I already know it. I've heard this message before. I've already prayed this prayer. I've already sung these songs many times. I need a new song, fresh song. Or maybe this song is too new. Let's go back to the old song. Yeah, repentant life. We must welcome his discipline. And church, this is different from punishment. This is not punishment. As children of my youth here, our parents, they discipline us, not because they hate us or they're angry at us. It's because they love us. They love us so much. They just want the best for us. And sometimes it's like, how would you know? You don't even talk to me, or you don't even know. You're from a different generation. Let me tell you, they also had parents, and their parents had parents, you know. And we can only learn from mistakes. And sometimes, oh, sorry, Maya, I'm not looking at you. You were just in front of me. I'm sorry. I love your parents. I love them so much. I just want to read to you Hebrews 12. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises the son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons and daughters. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which we are all participated, then you are an illegitimate children and not sons. Besides, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he, our God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all disciplines seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Our Noah is now 7 and he's showing us attitudes and things that we've never seen before. But me and Levi, we love him dearly, and it's our job to show him. It is also in a command from our God that we have to raise up our children in the way of the Lord so that when they grow old, they will not depart from it. And I'm so blessed. I'm so grateful for my parents. Although my dad was away, my mom did her absolute best to lead us, to train us, to devote with us. And so here I am today, all because of my parents. And I love them. I'm so grateful for them. Let's take a moment, youth, to thank our parents. Let's take a moment to say, hey, I appreciate you for everything that you do. Because they have a responsibility, and we have a responsibility to respond. And holiness, I want to go back to that whole word holiness. God is calling to himself a holy people. And we're not talking about people who do not make mistakes. We're talking about people who recognize their weaknesses and run to God for help. And lastly, fullness of life awaits you. Fullness of life awaits you. I've read before that our good Father gives good gifts to his children. And I'll jump to verse 12 and 13. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. When we turn to God, joy, peace, and blessings follow you. Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm not saying there's no suffering. The Bible actually tells us that we must share in Christ's suffering, and suffering is here today, and it's been going on from the beginning of time, and it's been hard. And some of us may have it harder. But I want to read this encouragement to you in Romans 8, verse 12. That as we share in Christ's suffering, we are also glorified in him. In verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we also may be glorified with him. These afflictions and sufferings are nothing compared to the glory and the joy of being a son and a daughter of the Most High God. God's goodness will always, always outweigh the sufferings that we face. You know, my dad and I had our fair share of conflicts, unpleasant moments, but they are nothing compared to the joy of being his daughter. I am so blessed. I'm so grateful for my dad. When we get overwhelmed with the happenings of life, or we encounter a situation that pulls us away from God, we just have to go back to our identity. I am the daughter. I am a son. And my God loves me. My Father in heaven loves me. And I feel like no one loves me, or maybe they don't understand me, but my God in heaven sees me. And he will reveal to me the truth through his word. Church, he invites us to come in. And he has a promise for us. An everlasting relationship made possible through Jesus. Now, when I shared my story about my dad, you know, I know and I understand that none of us here have the same relationship. Maybe dad was distant, or you grew up even without him being present in your life, or you just don't have that great relationship with him, or maybe you've been disappointed. or you just there's just this distance between you and your dad or your parent, I feel the Lord say, don't let this failed relationship dictate how you see our Heavenly Father. Instead, look to our Heavenly Father and say, God, help me see him or her or my family the way you want me to see them. Show me how to love them. Show me how to forgive. Show me how to discipline. Show me how to be kind. Because I need your help. I don't know what goodness looks like, but you do. You're a good father. You created everything good. And it says in your word that when you created Adam and Eve together, it was very good. So you want us to have a relationship. So help me. Help us. And this is what it's like to have a repentant life. You come to God humbly and say, Lord, I'm laying it all down and I need you to come and help and minister to me. If I could invite Neil to come up as we close. I know it's tricky. But when I started writing this sermon, I felt God say, there's many of us who struggle to sing even on a Sunday because our hearts may be distant or maybe we don't fully know God as our Heavenly Father. We could just invite everyone to just close their eyes because I know that this is the moment where God will just speak life into you and minister to you. You know, at the start, I asked you guys to put your hand up if you've been broken or just you're just tired of a lifeless relationship without God. Okay, we know that Jesus has died on the cross. He came back to life. He's in heaven right now. And we have all these things. And the Holy Spirit is so kind to minister to us, to dwell within us, to speak truth. He is the Spirit of revelation. But you know, the role of the Spirit and the role of Jesus is to reveal our God as a Father. Jesus says, if you have seen me, then you've seen the Father. Church, there's so much more for you than just attending a Sunday service. There's so much more for you than just doing things every day and then going back to bed and then starting all over again. There is so much life, so much goodness and greatness and just peace and joy and all these spiritual blessings ready that are for our Father to give to you. But he is inviting you to come and eat with him. He is inviting you to come and hear him. He is inviting you to let go of the distractions, of the idols, of the things that we relied on for comfort and come to him instead. He's inviting you to see the beauty and the sacrifice of Jesus so that this sacrifice has brought us to our Heavenly Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. He has a promise for you. But how many of us know that it's hard? It's hard. But today the Lord wants to just embrace you with his love. We'll have a moment today to pray with you. If you want a revelation from God and say, I'm done living this life. I don't want to come in heavy. I don't want to come in suspicious. I just want to know my God deeper. That I've known him deeper than ever before. And that includes me. I want to know my God deeper. As we worship, as we sing today, let this song minister to you. And our prayer team and our fivefold will be here to pray with you. You can come. It's an invitation, not forcing anyone. This is an invitation. I'm just going to pray with you. Heavenly Father, our Abba, our Dad, help us see you the way you see us, precious in your eyes, sons and daughters. And I thank you for this invitation. Would you come and minister to every person here today?
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.